I call this offering the Big Rock. It has a subtitle, A New Approach to Overcoming Life's Obstacles. A few weeks after I began chemo, the blood test which they used to detect the presence of colon cancer was found to be, quote, elevated, close quote. So much so as to cause my oncologist concern. He sent me off to have a CT scan of the abdomen. The CT scan showed a, quote, hot spot, close quote, and what he believed was a recurrence of the cancer. Surgery was required immediately, he said. Now I would be receiving some kind of souped-up chemo and also radiation, he said. My oncologist had arranged to have a radiologist he knew meet with me while I was in the hospital recovering from the upcoming surgery, so that radiation appointments could be set up expeditiously. I was terrified. My level of anxiety had been floating up there in the high, squeaky notes vibration level on a constant basis ever since the cancer had been discovered. Now the terror level climbed through the roof and into levels that I had not known existed. I had the surgery. I met with the oncologist, with the radiologist. I was scheduled to meet with a surgeon for a post-op examination. I had been discharged from the hospital and was taking Vicodin for post-surgical pain. It was the day before the post-op visit. I had an appointment with my oncological counselor, Keith, at Cancer Care. Since being diagnosed, my relatively imminent death had taken on a quality of a genuine possibility. Now death's closeness felt like near certainty. I was descending the last of the steps of the stairway on my way out of the walk-up apartment building in which I then lived. In my mind's eye, the image of a huge rolling rock, like the one at the beginning of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, appeared in a spontaneous fantasy. It was rolling down a hillside, and I was lower down on the hillside, directly in front of it. That was exactly the way I felt, I realized, like I was a Harrison Ford character running to escape from this huge boulder, cancer, a boulder that I felt was about to crush me at any moment. Fitting image, I thought, as I moved from the entry doorway of my building to the top steps of the stoops outside. Then I realized that my rock and Indiana Jones' rock were a little different. That is, the rock was pretty much the same, huge, rolling toward me, but the terrain was different. I was not in a cave, as Indiana Jones had been. I was on a hillside. The hillside had a little grass here and there, and dirt, and a few rocks that were embedded into the hillside. Some loose rocks also lay about. A did this all mean, I wondered. I filed the image, knowing that it did mean something, and being glad that I was headed for a counseling session where the meaning of the image could be examined further. When I got to my session, we talked of my fears and concerns, including whether or not I would be able to keep my salaried position, for instance, once radiation and more intense chemo treatments began. It was time for me to become familiar with the law as it related to jobs and cancer. Finally, we got to my rock. I had worked in Gestalt therapy in the early 1970s for several years, so I was familiar with the analysis technique of identifying with each element of a dream in order to understand it. The underlying principle for such work is that the dream is the creation of the dreamer, and so each element reflects a different aspect of the dreamer. I decided to apply this technique to the waking image which was now before me. I decided to identify with the rock and what I believed was my image of the cancer. I was really scared. I assumed the rock's identity. I was the rock. I was cancer. I was a thing that can kill people. I could kill Mary. How did I feel as a rock? Just there, doing my rock thing, rolling. After all, I was on an incline. I was just a rock, rolling. The rock had no evil about it. It was a rock being a rock. The rock meant me no harm. It was just being itself. After having worked with the image as well as I could, I talked a bit with Keith about the rock and my reaction to it. We discussed the fact that, given that I was not constrained by the terrain in the image, if I were quick enough, I could just step out of the way of the rolling rock. Just jump aside. Was there time? Could I do it? Would I make it if I tried? We talked about this strategy for not being crushed or injured by the rock. And as we were talking, Keith resonated with the notion. Yeah, he said, just somehow maneuver out of the way. Then he demonstrated how he would move out of the way, deftly swiveling his skinny hips in the chair in which he sat. His movement, it was kind of like that of a toreador. When the toreador gracefully swivels out of a charging bull's way, letting the bull go by, the movement was amazing. I would never make a movement like that naturally. Ever. The pivot was small, but its rotation could obviously be highly effective. Graceful. It was the kind of movement you might expect from a ballet dancer. It was not big or grand. but it got from him from the position in which he had been, parallel to the chair's back, to a position in which he was nearly perpendicular to the chair's back. The movement shocked me because of the fact that such a small movement could potentially remove one from such a big threat. And it was an interesting movement. It was a kind of a going with the flow movement, an avoiding of the threat. Keith was demonstrating letting the threat go by while remaining intact and unharmed. Up until then, my own style of meeting threats, obstacles in life, had tended to be rather unsophisticated and head-on. Batten the hatches! Full steam ahead! Work like hell! Blast your way through the obstacle. Kerpow! Those were my mottos. Those had been my mottos. Now I didn't have the energy for kerpowing or the inclination, to tell you the truth. I wanted peace and calm and quiet now. Was it possible that difficulty could be avoided by such simple, obvious, to other people, not to me up until then, and small adaptations to circumstances? This was the question I had in my mind as I left the cancer care offices that day. Go with the flow. Avoid the threat. Get out of the way. The notion was revolutionary to me. I met with the surgeon the following morning. He examined me and found me fine, which was good. Turned out he had the pathology findings. No cancer found, he said. The path report was clean. Probably some inflamed tissue lighting up the CT scan. I nearly fell on the floor. I looked up at him as though he were an alien from beyond the galaxy. No cancer, I asked. No, he repeated, reassuring me. I was hardly able to believe his words and my own good fortune. I was awash in a sea of deliverance and a sense of the miraculous. I told the surgeon that if I were the sort of person who traveled with a flask or a bottle, on this occasion I would pull it out and offer to share it with him. I was beside myself with joy. May I hug you? I asked. I floated home. It was early afternoon. I felt I really needed to celebrate and took down the bottle of vodka I keep on the top shelf of my kitchen cabinet. I carefully measured out a couple of tablespoons over ice, and I drank deep, despite the minuscule amount of booze at the bottom of the glass. And then I fell fast asleep for about an hour and a half. I'd forgotten I was still on the Vicodin. Vicodin and vodka are really not meant to be taken together. I had squarely faced the rock and the cancer in my body it had represented, despite my fear. I had made the effort to look directly at it and see it and to come to terms with it in a very direct way. I had identified with it, been it, in order to feel it and to understand it. Had my having done this somehow on some quark quantum physics level that I really don't understand created my beautiful pathology findings? Had I participated by these actions in the creation of my own reality? I have absolutely no idea. I do know that I gave the image my best shot, that I did not flinch in my exploration of it, when I would have greatly preferred to just not look at all. I was so frightened that in a certain way it would have been far easier to have not even seen the image of the rock, never mind examined it. After the crisis had passed, I revisited that image to see what more I could learn. The rock is a symbol of the cancer, had wished me neither ill nor good. It had been itself, rolling. It was lethal, but not malevolent. Any ego trip, I'll show you confrontation with the rock, would have led to my being squashed and killed. This was an obstacle I could not meet. If I tried to meet it, I would die. My only option was to honor the existence of the rock and quickly move aside out of its way. Keith's pivot epitomized the new way of dealing with obstacles I was going to have to master. In order to escape danger, I had to let the obstacle go its own way by altering my course. To this very day, I work on recognizing the fact that some circumstances, events, and even people are harmful to me, and also unalterable by me. Acknowledging these unpleasant unchangeables has been painful. For one thing, it's no ego trip. I used to believe that I had far fewer limitations, far more ability to eliminate or change things that are harmful, that I could, with enough effort, reset difficult relationships. I was wrong. There are many things that are bad for me that I cannot change. What I can do, however, is avoid them. Step aside, get out of their way. No doubt this step aside and avoid strategy sounds obvious to you. It's new for me. In the past, when I met something or someone who was harmful to me, I might become very angry. My rage felt justified, and the force with which I threw myself into removing what I saw as an obstacle always seemed justified. Things looked very right-wrong to me, and I was on the side of the right. The harmful event, circumstance, person was an obstacle. And any obstacle was a challenge by definition. Challenge me, and I'm yours. It was as though I rarely met an obstacle that I didn't love. My reactions, I see now, had a compulsive knee-jerk quality to them, largely out of my awareness. Stop. Be still. Be quiet. Get out of the way. Go with the flow. Avoid. These are my new maneuvers. It's kind of a dance. When to go and when to stop. When to take steps to remove an obstacle. When to go around it. When to get out of its way and let it go by. My decision-making about how to deal with an obstacle has become more goal-focused. Now I work more to get something done than to remove the obstacle. My ego is less involved, but more of myself is. Is there anything that you're afraid to look at? Do you want to look at it now? You can stop this recording here if you want and start it again after you've finished. Once you have looked at what you're afraid of, is there some unnatural response to that matter which could be useful to you to develop? Some new skill you need to help you address what you are afraid of? Cancer Care is an organization which has helped many people who have received a diagnosis of cancer. Its website is cancercare.org.